thank you for the readings and your participation so far. Lectionary readings are intended to give us a focus, a consideration, to mull over certain ideas and themes. And today, as we saw with this first candle, our first theme of Advent, traditionally speaking, is of hope. Advent, you know, means a coming of something important, or someone important. And I think Jesus qualifies for that. And it marks for us in our Western traditions the beginning of the holiday season. We often think of all the things that go with it and themes of peace on earth, goodwill to men, and trees, and decorating, and food, and family, and gifts, and whatever other traditions one might have during this time. But the scriptures that we are looking at here, and even the candles and these things, as we want to seek to slow down a little, to consider what Advent is and what it's about, to start to build up to the event of Jesus' birth itself, we find ourselves fighting through a lot of noise. We live in troubled times. There's no doubt about it, right? We have so many things, and I think part of it is just that we are just so super aware of so many things. And that's kind of a problem. The internet, for all the fun things it can do for us, and just the connectivity and how it really shrinks our world in many ways, it just gives such an instantaneous and constant barrage of all the stuff that's going on in this world. That 30, 40, 50 years ago, news would trickle in for events around the world, but you weren't just bombarded with it instantly, constantly, all the time. And that's the world we live in. And so in the midst of that sort of a barrage of information that assaults us, we see in our world rising anxieties, rising fears, rising anger. The level of anger in people's reactions, it's incredible. The rise of the Karen and the Kyle speaks to anger in our society, when people feel privileged or they deserve this or that, and they just feel the freedom to lash out. And then we try to celebrate Advent in the midst of these troubled, angry, fearful, stressful times. And these things cross, boundaries of beliefs, affiliations. It goes across the political spectrum, left, right, middle. It's all there. And as we slow down, like today, I hope, to consider Advent and what this means, this time of remembrance and reflection, I think the message is still the same. And the theme of this first Sunday of Advent is important and relevant and needed today as ever, and that is hope. What we need, what will carry us through, what can give us a foundation and something to grasp on is hope. The world needs hope. Christians need to remember their hope. I think we have hope. It's part of who we are, but we forget. So today I want to, as we consider the four scriptures that we looked at, to think about hope. I want to consider the object of our hope, the expression of our hope, and then the means of our hope, and consider how that can affect our lives today. So first, we have to start as the object of hope. Now, hope in the Christian sense, as you've heard me say many, many times, is not a hope that's a baseless hope, I guess. It's not the hope that the Vikings could beat the 49ers today, all right? Maybe, maybe not. They played well, but I'm not sure. I guess we'll see. And being the Vikings, they'll probably break my heart and fold. Okay, that's just how it is to be a Vikings fan, right? It's not that kind of hope. Our hope is based upon something that is sure. Our hope is rooted, and it's firm, and it's solid. And as we consider Advent, as was mentioned in the readings and in our scriptures, there's a double ring to this season that we have to make sure we hear. Jesus was born. Jesus is coming. There's a first Advent and a second Advent, and they are tied together, and we should not separate them. In our Old Testament reading in Jeremiah, we see that right away there's that ring of hope there, a branch of David, a righteous Savior is coming. Throughout the prophets, you could go as far back as Genesis 3, when the promise is made to this, about the serpent to crush his head. That expectation, that was looking forward to the first advent of Jesus. And so, as we think about the Lord, a righteous Savior, who are we talking about in the New Testament reading? We see this apocalyptic imagery, right? And I think it's so relevant today. We get so much fear. We see these sort of things, these troubled times, and we consider them and go, what are we going to do? Now, unfortunately, more and more people respond to fear, again, in anger and striking back and having to do something. But as we even saw in the Sermon on the Mount and other places, the object of our hope is not in the things we can do, but it's in a person. Christmas season reminds us that it was a baby, for goodness sakes. The object of our hope is Jesus. Simple message. Seems obvious. I heard it in Sunday school when you were 4. But too often we forget. We try to make the object of our hope powers, political power, influence, money. And we think if we have these sorts of things, then we can be safe. Then we can be secure. Then we can maintain our freedoms. Then we can be healthy. And all those things are temporary. And even those who have them, all, money, power, influence, health, they're still seeking, and they still fall into the trap of fear. We saw in the Thessalonians reading, and let's look at it here, in verse 13, it says, may he strengthen your hearts so that you be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes. That is the object of our hope. It's Jesus. It's the baby. It was our Savior who died on a cross and is coming again. And in this season of Advent, I want us to remember that. The object is a person, and that person is Jesus. Simple and profound. Secondly, then, we want to consider the expression of that hope. If we get our minds around the object of who Jesus is, how is that expressed then? How is that spread out? How do people incorporate that? And it's a word that is just as frustrating as can be. The expression of our hope is waiting. Waiting. In that double ring. The Savior's come. Jesus is coming. And we hate waiting. But hope and waiting are linked together. Interesting enough, when Sherry read the section in Psalm 25, it says, those who wait the Lord. Now, if you were, some of your Bibles, it may have said those who hope. In some of your Bibles, it could have even said those who trust. That word, I mean, especially in Hebrew, which is a complex word of, all those things are tied together. Hope, trust, and waiting. And hope is indeed waiting. It always is. So happy this morning when I was looking through this again and saw my opportunity to go to my favorite chapter of the Bible. Right, James? Romans 8. You got it, right? Because look what it says. This is perfect. Romans 8, starting at verse 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us. So we have present sufferings. No doubt about it, right? Okay. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was not subjected to frustration, was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who are the first, have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly. Oh, well, I'll talk about that in a minute. We wait eagerly for our adoption as sons and the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved. Now get this. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Sometimes the whole idea of waiting, and we see it here, that it's just kind of part of human experience now and even of creation. The question is, do we wait eagerly? Sometimes sometimes it just seems like we don't wait eagerly. It's frustrating. Waiting is hard sometimes. And it seems to go on and on and on. You know, you think about it, it's been hundreds of years. And if, as Christians, we're looking forward to Jesus coming again, it's been over 2,000 years. And after a while, we go, come on, Lord, what's going on? How do we wait then? I was reminded this week in some stuff I was listening to, the story of Jacob. Remember when he went off to find a wife and what happened? He got tricked, so he loved Rachel. I'm the right guy, right? Jacob and Rachel? Okay, good. Sometimes I say it wrong. All right? He loved Rachel. And Laban said, hey, you know, work 7 years and you can have her. 7 years. I would not have wanted to wait 7 years for you, my love. That would have been terrible. We waited 6 months. That seemed like it was too long, right? But if you read the story, for Jacob, it just flew by. It was like days to him. Why? Because he loved Rachel so much. And that price of 7 years was like nothing. Whatever. Hey, I'll pay that. That's so worth it. And he got tricked and had to go another seven. But still, is our desire for Christ one that our hope is like, hey, I can wait. That's not a problem. Whatever sufferings you're going through, as Paul says, he doesn't even worth considering, as worthy to be considered. You know, that's the kind of hope we want right there. That's how we get through things. That is how hope is expressed. Human nature doesn't want to wait. We want things now. We like action. We like results. We strike back because of fear. We want to be in control. And so we want to do things ourselves. And that is not how hope should be expressed. It is expressed. Hope is trusting. Hope is waiting. Hope is built on the rock and the object of that, which is Jesus. This sort of expression is the demeanor of how a Christian should be seen, of patient waiting. And that is hard to do, but that is what we're called to. And that is what Advent reminds us of, to wait and not be frustrated by the fears and considerations of this world. But we have the object of that hope, and we have we can see what the expressions of that hope. What is the means of hope? What is the vehicle for this hope? How do we get it? How is it attained, I guess would be a way to put it. But the means of faith is simply, means of hope. I gave it away. There it is. It's faith, right? It is trusting God. As we saw in the psalm, the psalmist says, trust in God. That is the means of faith. It's not myself. It's not nations. It's not governments. It's not economies. It's not entertainment. It's not leaders. It's not resources. It's not money. It's not cars. It's not family. It's not a job. It's faith. It's trusting in God. Now, I want to take you to a few places here, if you have your Bibles and follow along. First, go to Hebrews chapter 10. Because if hope is what the world needs, then this is how it has to happen. So Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So you see, that's what it's about. That's what it is. Let's hold on and see how the author of Hebrews really latches on to this process, the means of hope is us. That we need each other. Let's encourage each other. Let's hold on together. Because sometimes we're not going to be strong. There will be days when we are weak and someone else is strong. Let's not give up coming together. Let's hold on to this hope by our faith. 1 Peter chapter 1. Two places I want to look at. First, verse 13, which says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace given to you when Jesus is revealed. See, so there we see it. We see the object of our hope. Set your hope, your waiting, your faith, your trust in Jesus. And then go down to verse 21. Through him you believe in God who raised him from the dead, and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. So Peter makes it very just clear. Faith and hope are in God. Our waiting, our demeanor as Christians as we consider Advent, and that double ring of the already not yet of Jesus' coming, he's coming. And what we look forward to as we slog through this world is God. Well, let's go farther. Titus chapter 2. So Titus is this way. Titus chapter 2. Sure enough, we'll go to Titus. probably should more. Titus chapter 2, starting at verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearance of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. These then are the things you should teach. Encourage and rebuke with all authority. Do not let anyone despise you. How wonderful. Our hope to hang on. Paul saw it. Peter saw it. Waiting is a hard thing. But together we do this. And God gives us the power to do it. But let's look at one other place that Paul talks about this. And this is 1 Timothy. That's my favorite one. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 10. I'll start at verse 9. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance, and for this we labor and strive, that we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, and especially of those who believe. So we see that the means of our hope is our faith, God-given faith in God. And so as we celebrate and remember God coming in a baby, and at the same time, that double ring of looking forward to, knowing that the path that Jesus is going to take to the cross, and he died and then was rose again and promised, as God promised even in the Old Testament, that he's going to come and these things are going to happen. Jesus promised he's going to come again. And so we hang on to those things. We wait for him. And so we trust in God. That is our focus. But then the way that is expressed day to day, hour by hour, minute by minute, is summed up in a single word: love. See, that's then how we practically wait, is in our love. Love for each other and our love for God. It's how we speak. It's how we think. Yeah, I think the goal often in, you know, churches and our education, discipleship, all these sort of things that we try to do for to build each other up, it comes down to really simply always more and more having God be the center of our thoughts day by day and the decisions we make moment by moment. Just like we, again, if you're, you know, there's a person, a special person in your life, you're always thinking about them. What are they thinking? What can I do to help them? When do I get to see them again? Those kind of, that's, we want God to be at the center of all those things and then influence our decisions, again, moment by moment. And the example for this is Jesus himself. He was a baby, but he showed himself an example to us in his life of sacrificial love. His way was not a way of violence, but of giving, turning the other cheek. It's the word we have to use is cruciform. Our hope is cross-shaped. Our hope, our lives, the expression, the means, the hope, all of it is found in that what Christ did for us on the cross. That is how we live. That is how Christians, that's how the world sees hope in us. Not in our strivings for power or influence or any of those sorts of things, but in opening ourselves up to each other and to him. The object of our hope is Jesus. And Advent calls us to that. And as we're reminded that that reason for the season, Jesus, well, the reason was because we could not help ourselves. Because we could not find hope for ourselves. No matter how we tried, no matter how much we strive, there's always a hole there that we cannot do. And that is what Christ did for us. That is the message of a baby born who came to die for us because we needed it. That's the gospel. We needed Christ. And without him, there is no hope. And whenever we try to fill the holes in our lives to make us feel accepted or safe or wanted or secure, ring hollow outside of the hope that is Christ. And so in this Advent season, as we go in this time of busyness, as we are assaulted hourly, daily by the cares of this world, the violence, the anger, the strivings for power, the influence, we remember, as the candle reminds us, the object of this hope, who is Jesus, the expression of that in our faith in God together, and the means of it in our love and trust in God together as his people, and give ourselves to that through this season. Let's pray. Gracious Father, thank you again for the hope that is in you, the hope that we have because you took the step to come to us as a baby, to show us how to live in the life of Jesus and in the death and resurrection of Jesus. And Lord, help us to wait Christian waiting, not fearful, but giving, loving, sacrificially for the good of this world, that they would see you and come to you and know that they too can know this hope that we have too. Again, we thank you. You are with us and we appreciate it and we love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And we pray, Lord, oh Lord, come. Come soon. Amen.